Hey everybody, Rob Maurer here. Welcome back to Tesla Daily. Today we are going to be talking about new comments from Hertz CEO about how well integrating Teslas into their fleet has gone so far. We've also got news on Giga Shanghai, an update on FSD Beta 10.13, a new interview from Sandy Monroe of Ford's exec team. We'll talk about the highlights of that, and we'll take a look at the week ahead. Well, you'd hardly know it by where it finished, but bumpy day for Tesla stock today, finishing up just 38 cents after being up more than $38 earlier in the day. To close at $891.83, the NASDAQ was down 0.2% on the day today. Quick look at the broader economic calendar. We do have a few economic reports coming this week, but the big ones will be next week with the CPI, Consumer Price Index, and PPI, Producer Price Index, coming on Wednesday and Thursday mornings, respectively. But plenty going on this week with Tesla, with, of course, the annual shareholder meeting on Thursday. If you have not yet voted, you still have time to do that. And you can now also vote on questions for the shareholder meeting that has now been opened up on saytechnologies.com. I definitely think we can do a little bit better than some of the top questions that we see in there right now. There's one about stock split. Of course, we'll find out more about that in the meeting that is voting on the possibility of a stock split. There's one about how Tesla intends to use cash. Maybe that could be for buybacks or dividends. Tesla answered this explicitly a few months back. Zach Kirkhorn had said at the time that, quote, "I think we have to take this one step at a time. We have investments that are happening right now to get Austin and Berlin up and running. And then, as Elon mentioned, installing capacity for robotaxi production. And there's some decisions that, as Elon alluded to, just to share in the future, about what the economic model looks like for robotaxis. So our focus is to get to the point where robotaxis are on the road, Optimus is in use, get the economic model for that dialed in, and then evaluate the size of cash flows at that point and make decisions then as to what's next," end quote. So we are not yet at that point. We are not going to get a different answer on that question. Anyway, you can vote on those questions. And then something kind of fun here too, Tesla is finally going to be launching photos into space from the referral program. They had given people the opportunity to earn the possibility of having a photo included on a SpaceX launch. Tesla's put all those photos together into a mosaic that looks like the Roadster being launched into space. And all those photos are scheduled to be launched on August 4th as well. So not necessarily tied directly into the shareholder meeting, but same day. And pretty cool to see that finally happening. I will be coming down to Austin for the shareholder meeting, so hopefully we'll get a chance to see some of you there. I don't anticipate that really impacting the recording schedule too much this week, but always a little bit up in the air when there is traveling involved. So shareholder meeting this week, and then next week on top of the CPI report, we should get China numbers for July as well. Now, obviously, we expect these to be significantly down from June because of the production shutdowns that Tesla had during the month. That's completely expected. I'm somewhere around 40,000 in terms of my expectations, anywhere plus or minus 2,000 around that. I wouldn't be too surprised. Anything above 40,000, I think, shows that Tesla has been able to restart production relatively quickly and is hitting a good rate of production on the Model Y after that upgrade. We do have a little bit of information on that from Wuhua today in a video over the weekend. Wuhua in the description noted that, quote, "According to the news, the capacity of the second phase reached 1,000 cars per shift per day, and the capacity of two shifts a day was as high as 2,000 units," end quote. So we've had a variety of reports on what this production rate is going to end up after this upgrade. I'm not sure we even know that Tesla fully knows right now, but I think what we can expect for sure is for Tesla to get to a combined rate between Model Y and Model 3 above 20,000 per week after both upgrades are complete. Remember, we still have to wait till August 8th for Model 3. This weekend, I updated my model for all the things that we now know about China and the downtime and the production rates, and then everything that we learned from Q2. That'll be posted for annual subscribers on ShareLoft tonight. The other tidbit that we have out of China is from Kelvin Yang on Twitter, who is sharing that the CPCA has announced that auto supply chain and vehicle production have fully recovered from the lockdowns in Q2. Given Tesla's record production in June, not very surprising, but good to see a report there that also includes the supply chain and its progress. Hopefully that persists now that we have Tesla coming off of these production upgrades, and we can see Shanghai truly producing at a 1 million vehicle per year run rate. Perhaps somewhat relatedly, and of course with the stock price appreciation that we have seen, remember last month up about 33% or so, Elon Musk on Friday commented on Twitter, "Heat wave in Shortville." Of course, there have been heat waves in many areas, maybe Elon just doing some wordplay off of that, just kind of commenting on what has happened in hindsight. It doesn't necessarily mean anything going forward, but it could, and probably not something that Elon would tweet if he didn't feel good about where things are heading from here. All right, next up, we've got some pretty interesting comments from Hertz CEO on their earnings call. They talked a lot about how the integration of Teslas into their fleet is going so far. Of course, this was huge news last year in Q4 when Hertz had announced that they had ordered 100,000 Teslas. On the call, Hertz CEO announced that they are currently at about 20,000 EVs, most of which would be Teslas, noting that deliveries are obviously ongoing. There were quite a few questions on how this is going so far. It's obviously a big deal for Hertz's business. And overall, they were very positive and gave quite a few examples of where they're seeing the benefit of having Teslas in their fleet. First, the CEO pointed out that customers are enjoying the Tesla EV experience, which is being expressed in net promoter scores, or NPS scores, that are 10 points higher than their global average. And remember, this is with customers that are potentially new to electric vehicles, new to Teslas, maybe have never dealt with charging an electric vehicle, maybe have never dealt with an operating system like Tesla's is, and despite having maybe a little bit of an education burden, are still having very positive experiences. Now, to be fair, Hertz overall NPS is apparently negative 31, so I guess that's a relatively low bar to clear and add 10 points to, but obviously the entirety of the NPS score isn't based solely on the vehicle that you're using. There's a lot of other things that go into renting a car. They also didn't go into a ton of details there, like if they were qualifying that against other more premium cars or not. So tough to say exactly how positive that is, but they were a little bit more clear on some other things. They say specifically on maintenance, this one's huge, quote, "We are running kind of 50 to 60% of what maintenance costs are on ICE vehicles. That's roughly in line with where we are. If there's any one surprise, it's probably slightly higher expense on tires, but not much more. And that's embedded in the figure I'm giving you. So I would say overall, we are very pleased with the results," end quote. Obviously, in fleet conditions like this, you're going to learn about maintenance requirements more quickly. But that being said, it is still relatively new, so things on that line could change over time. But it sounds like Hertz is very happy with what they're seeing early on. They also had positive comments to say on anticipated residual values, lower depreciation than expected, saying, quote, "On depreciation, we originally pegged depreciation rate to an ICE vehicle, as Stephen mentioned. Right now, based on early inning data, we are seeing the depreciation rate on the EVs being lower than ICE vehicles, so as we underwrite the business case with new data, we are even more confident with the economics of EVs," end quote. So overall, positive comments, not really any negative comments in there that I saw from Hertz on how this is going so far. That's good in terms of them converting on their order. It's also good in terms of what it tells to the rest of the industry, which you know are reading these calls, understanding what is going on with their competitors' businesses. Hertz is very clearly laying out the case here for the commercial business case for EVs, which I think has been clear to us for a long time, but sadly, a lot of those decision makers maybe not listening to Tesla Daily for the last 5 years. And remember, this is before we even start to talk about anything really related to autonomous driving. On that topic, we did get a small update from Elon Musk on this on Friday. He said that FSD Beta 10.13 is probably a week or so away, and that people outside of California will notice improvements the most. So that's exciting for me in Wisconsin. I'll definitely be able to put that to the test. All right, next we had a little bit of a rumor going around on Tesla and Idra. This was coming from Chris Zhang. I'm not sure where he was reporting this from, but on Twitter, reporting that Tesla's Gigapress supplier Idra would be replaced by Switzerland's Bühler next year. So red flag on this, don't know where the original source was coming from. Chris Zhang before has reported about China's insurance numbers coming in as deliveries, left off a couple of days, like inaccurate reporting. So definitely not a report that I'm trusting here to be accurate and complete. And somebody on Twitter just questioned this and said it wouldn't really make sense. And Chris Zhang quote tweeted it and said, "Nice correction. Tesla introduced Bühler as a secondary supplier, but will not cancel the cooperation with Idra." So didn't really take much questioning to end up with a very different report. That one makes a lot more sense. Keeping your suppliers competitive with each other can lead to more innovation within the supply chain, possibly better leverage on cost, just better leverage in general. Builds in some potential redundancy, de-risks you if something happens to one of the suppliers. A lot of benefits to doing that, which would make it make sense and not even necessarily be any type of reflection on Idra or their capabilities or constraints or anything like that. Remember the Monroe video with Idra? They said, hey, we've got a lot of room here, we can do more. So I think if this were accurate, which again, we don't necessarily know that it is, but if it were accurate, I think it would be more of those other reasons. All right, last couple of things here for today. First, we've got an interview from Sandy Monroe and Corey at Monroe & Associates of Ford's exec team. They dropped off a Ford F-150 Lightning that Monroe had ordered, and they did about a 45-minute interview as well. Pretty interesting to get some insight from Ford on what they're thinking at this point in time. We obviously know how Sandy feels about what's happening in the industry. Ford was very supportive of the work that Sandy has done and some of the flags that he has raised. I think for the most part, the interview reflected relatively positively on Ford. I think my basis for comparison there is probably GM, and I continue to believe that Ford is just doing a much better job at both tactically moving towards what they need to move towards and actually properly communicating those things. But again, those are pretty low bars, but I think they get it. They talked a lot about how they've really kind of rethought Ford and really focused in on the things that they think that they are good at, which really is the truck industry. They talked about their ambitious target of 2 million electric vehicles in just 3.5 years from now. and how much work needs to be done just in terms of capacity to get there. They weren't concerned really about the product and needing to drive demand. It was more focused on production, which I like to see. So just the general feel of the interview was pretty interesting. In terms of specific callouts to take away, Sandy did ask what was the biggest challenge for Ford in bringing the F-150 Lightning to production. Jim Farley replied saying, quote, "I would say the biggest challenge for our team Edison, when we formed it 4 years ago, was credibility within the company. We had people who weren't sure that an electric F-150 would work, and if it did, if it was less profitable, why would we want to sell a lot of them?" End quote. This is the exact question that we've talked about so many times that has been so difficult for OEMs to even start to overcome. On one hand, it's good to see the recognition and acknowledgement of that, but on the other hand, you know that there's some subset of Ford that still kind of has that mentality, that culture, which in subtle ways is going to be a little bit harmful in terms of making the progress that they want to and need to make. So I thought that comment was pretty interesting and insightful. Another one that was interesting, Sandy had asked if they had thought about using Tesla's charging connector, as it seems to be quite superior in many ways to other connectors that we have seen. Doug Field, their chief EV engineer, of course, ex-Tesla, he said that we think about everything and, quote, "we're working really hard to figure out all the things we can do on public charging to make it better, including that," end quote. So yeah, probably still an extreme long shot that Ford would ever use a Tesla connector, but they didn't completely shut down that idea, so I'd be very surprised, but maybe some very slim possibility of that happening at some point. I also thought their comments were interesting on autonomy. This is where I kind of disagreed with what they had said. They are pursuing level 3 autonomy. They believe that that can give people a lot of their time back in terms of not having to be necessarily fully attentive in select circumstances. I don't know that you can really get to that point without having a more full featured autonomy, but I suppose it's possible, though it seems kind of unlikely to be a winning long-term strategy for Ford, though with Argo AI, that's where they're working on more of a level 5 type of autonomy. So those were the most interesting things for me. Let me know if there was something else for you. And then the last item for today, Elon Musk has filed a confidential countersuit against Twitter in regard to the acquisition battle. Pretty unsurprising, and not much we can say about it since the contents right now are confidential, likely due to the inclusion of things that Twitter wouldn't want published, just for normal confidentiality reasons. So apparently we may get to see a redacted version of that once the court has an opportunity to go through it. So keep an eye out for that, but that will wrap it up for today. As always, thank you for listening. Make sure you're subscribed and signed up for notifications. You can also find me on Twitter at Tesla Podcast, and we'll see you tomorrow for the Tuesday, August 2nd episode of Tesla Daily. Thank you.